Thank you so much for spending part of your Friday with us. We're freezing together, so that's great. We can bond over that. Like Ryan told us, I'm the social media manager at LFS. I've been there for about 2 years. I'm excited to unpack what we've learned in those 2 years.
Hi, I'm Nate Joseph. I'm the growth lead at LFS. I've been with the company for about 2.5 years.
So as the session title suggests, we'll be talking about controversy today, and specifically how LFS has taken a non-traditional marketing approach in a very traditional industry. So what do I mean by traditional? I'm going to set some kind of context as the lay of the land that we're currently working within. So when our CEO, Sally Krawcheck, originally went and pitched this idea to VCs, a lot of the response that she got to creating an investment platform specifically for women was that women are a niche market, which we're actually half the population. So that's a little crazy that that was their first response. And it's pretty male. The industry symbol is a bull, which is also a phallic symbol. And boardrooms, C-suites, 86% of financial advisors look a lot like these guys. When you get a room together that's not very diverse, you know, a marketing team or a leadership team, a lot of times products for women end up looking like this. So a pinker, smaller, dumbed-down version of the original product. And as scary as pink little guns and pink hammers are, what's even scarier is when supposedly gender-neutral products are actually by default for men. So what do I mean by this? Specifically within the investing industry, current algorithms take into account a man's lifespan, a man's salary peak, and doesn't take into account the fact that most women take a career break, aka have children. So to describe this a little bit more in depth, we have a video of a TV spot that went live in 2017.
Ladies, it's time to shut a few things down. The wage gap, thigh gap, the investment gap.
Don't know that one?
It's that thing where women aren't getting their fair share because the investment industry and almost all its tools are built for men by men. Yeah, that's a thing. It means even if you're doing everything right, planning for the future, saving for what matters, kicking butt and getting yours, you're still getting less because the system isn't built for the realities of being you. Realities like you live longer, your salary may peak sooner, and things like career breaks, smaller raises, and the fact that your financial advisor has an 86% chance of looking like this could cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars or more over your lifespan. Enough. We are on a mission to fix it. We are LFS, the first investment platform designed to help this half of the population meet their financial goals. It's built for women, designed by women. That means we get ours for real this time. Financial independence, financial equality, financial power. Because being in control of our money is power. What will you do with yours? LFS, invest like a woman.
So as the imagery suggests, and the reason that LFS exists today is because 73% of women are unhappy with the financial services industry. And like I said, this is why we entered the space. This is our team almost a year ago, celebrating an anniversary of our launch. And it's really interesting because actually LFS existing in itself is controversial.
So today we're going to be talking about confronting controversy as a brand. And so the starting point for this is, why should you confront controversial issues, or why should you consider this? And so aside from being the right thing to do, in our opinion at least, there's a lot of research that suggests that there are business benefits as well. And so I think the third point here is really interesting, that this is changing over time. So from 66% of consumers who said they would actually switch brands to a similar one associated with their values, and that's grown from 66% to 89% in 2017. And so if this is something that you want to do as a brand, it's really important to get it right. And it's there have certainly been examples of companies not getting this right. Pepsi has for one. And so we think that these are the three boxes that you need to check. So we're going to talk a little bit about each of these three areas. We're going to talk about how we've approached them at Elevest, and then also share some ideas on how you might consider incorporating these for your own brands. So the first area to make sure that you are nailing, and this may seem obvious, is that the issues that you're engaging with need to be relevant to your business. And beyond that, they can't just be relevant, but you have to give your audience a reason to believe that you are an expert on this topic, because if you're not an expert, then why should they care what you have to say about this? So one example, probably everyone in the room is familiar with this recent Nike ad. And so Nike choosing to engage with issues of systemic racism after the protests at NFL games. Nike, a company that sells sports apparel, not too much of a stretch there. Another example that's been getting a lot of attention recently is Patagonia. Again, as a company that sells outdoor apparel, it makes sense that they would choose to engage on environmental issues.
And then a little bit about the Elevest brand and how we choose, or, you know, kind of our guidelines for what's relevant to our business. So very early on, we established this idea of whatever is being talked about in the trifecta of women, money, and power. We want to have an opinion on it, and we want to make sure that whether it's our community, our clients, that they're turning to us to see what our unique perspective is on X. And like Nate said, you know, you need to have expertise in this. So our expertise, you know, really comes from our CEO, Sally Krawcheck. For those of you who are not familiar with her, she was once called the most powerful woman on Wall Street. She was the CFO of Citigroup, the CEO of Citigroup Private Wealth, and the CEO of Merrill Lynch. So she has quite a track record. So it was very important for us from the beginning to make Sally synonymous with our brand. And using her, introducing her to our audience, and, you know, creating that expert that we're talking about. And here's a video of our Ask Sally video series that we established pretty early on social media, of her talking about this women, money, power trifecta.
How is money freedom? Money is power. Money is freedom. Money is, to the extent we have it in this life, control. I know it's crass. I know our mothers told us not to talk about it. I know we're not supposed to say how much money we make at work or how big our investments are or anything like that. But, honey, that is how they are keeping us down. By making money something that we are embarrassed to talk about, we cannot understand how much freedom we can actually have. And so by building money, paying down credit card debt, by starting your own business and being successful, by investing and giving yourself the opportunity to earn returns, that buys you power and that buys you freedom.
So the second box that you need to consider in choosing whether you're going to engage on controversial issues is that the issues that you choose need to be important to your customers. And how do you know what's important to your customers? By gathering lots of data on them so you can understand their opinions, their attitudes, everything you need to know so you can choose the right issues and understand how your audience feels about them. So, and this slide represents one of Elevest's core values. And so we've been really thinking about understanding our clients from the really early days. And so the value is we put the clientele at the center. And really the core of this value is actually in eliminating conflicts of interests. We're a fiduciary, so by law, we actually need to put our clients first. But it's how can we possibly prioritize the needs of our clients if we don't understand what they are? And so these are a couple stats on the work that we did before launching our MVP product to get to know our clients better. So you can see there's a really, really a lot of work went in before writing any code or doing anything. And these days, everyone considers themselves data-driven. Everyone uses data to optimize Facebook ads. Lots of companies are using some form of A/B testing. So just using data as a marketer is not a competitive advantage. And if you want to get to know your customer better than everyone else does, you need to get creative on how you're gathering data, both quantitative data and qualitative data. So in the really early days of the company, our CEO used to manually send out an email to every single person who registered for the platform soliciting feedback. Eventually, that became unscalable, so we automated it. This is the automated version you can see here. But we kept the same personal feeling intact. And so while the goal of this was to get feedback on the product offering and on our marketing, what was really interesting is that we also ended up getting a lot more color on our customers and their stories and what they cared about.
Another way we got creative in gathering data is very early on, we created a Slack channel for the specific use or specific purpose of the client experience team and the social team, screenshotting what they find on social media and sharing it with the rest of the company. So as a social media manager and as the client experience team, we have the privilege of being on the front lines of, you know, interacting with the client. But often our product team, our design team, you know, we absorb so much. So we wanted to pass on this wealth of feedback in a spot where people could easily find it. So here's an example of some positive feedback. So handwritten notes to clients who join Elevest, or a woman talking about the imagery used in marketing and how it speaks to her. But this also is an opportunity for us to share constructive feedback. So something we hear often is an app. It's in the product roadmap. And on the right, we see a woman talking about how she thinks that our social media is very diverse, but she thinks we could improve that on our website. So these are things that I think are important for leadership, in informing decisions for them to see as well. And then, of course, you're going to get people who say, totally disagree, this is junk, which I think is good to see, too.
And so in trying to get to know our customers better, we went so far as to commission a nationally representative survey asking women about their attitudes about money. And so the purpose of this was to get to know our clients and prospective clients better. But what we learned was so interesting that we just had to share what we found. And it's so interesting, in fact, that it helped land our executive team here on the cover of Money Magazine. And so we're talking about using data to help identify how to confront controversies. So what's important here is that through all of this, we're learning and learning about who our customer is, what she cares about. And so because of that insight, that's what can enable a brand to take a stand on these types of issues. And so for us, what this meant was as a company that was in a pre-launch stage during the 2016 election cycle, our team for a long time really wanted to take a stand on feminist issues. And getting these customer insights was what allowed us to feel comfortable that in addition to just being something that we wanted to do, it was actually the right decision for the business as well.
And so the third box that you want to make sure you check off when you're deciding whether or not to engage in a controversial issue is whether or not this is genuinely important to you. And not only that you've demonstrated that in whether it's past social media efforts, past marketing efforts, on boots on the ground. And even though this is a cliche word at this point in marketing, it's really important to be authentic because we believe that authenticity leads to loyalty.
And so this is an example of some of this in action. So you may have seen this tagline in the video we played earlier on. But so this is a message we've been out to market with in ads for a long time. And when we first launched these, we got a really strong reaction, and not all of it positive. So a lot of people didn't understand that this was intended to be a positive thing. After all, the evidence suggests that women are better investors than men, both on the individual level and on the institutional level. And so And so what was really interesting, though, is while we were getting some of these negative comments, we also had other users chiming in and defending us, defending the ads, having like read the site and kind of seen the depth behind what we were saying. And this two-way engagement helped these become some of our best performing ads ever, not just from these engagement metrics, but also for performance metrics.
And it was also important because, you know, it's more common for a user experience these days. Obviously, the goal is for someone to click through to our from our paid advertising to our website where there is more context. But usually, sometimes we see, you know, someone go to a our profile, our grid, to kind of check out the other content that we're posting before actually going to the website. So it was important to continue this story of Invest Like a Woman and what that means on our social as well. And so we're going to dig in on two very specific examples of controversial issues that we had to go through as a marketing team and make sure they checked off these three boxes so that we would feel comfortable engaging. So the first one, Trump. We all know him and probably the most controversial individual currently. And we've been right with Trump from the beginning. So we actually launched our product a couple weeks before the 2016 presidential election, and he was elected. And so we've been, you know, supporting whether it was, you know, the marches or, you know, congresswomen and other women who have stood up to him and, you know, faced criticism. And also, this is me dressed up as a handmaid walking around the park doing a quiz of who said it, Handmaid's Tale or elected official. So our content from day one has been relevant to politics and activism. But most importantly, we're trying to get the facts out. So women in political office are more likely to support issues that are important to women. So the Paycheck Fairness Act, you know, maternity, paternity leave policy. So we think it's important to share and spread the knowledge and the wealth of knowledge. So, November 5th, the day before the election, us not knowing, you know, at this point still thinking we were going to have our first woman president, our CEO, Sally Krawcheck, penned a very poignant and powerful op-ed and shared it on LinkedIn. And it was, as you can see, a letter to young women in the age of Trump. And this actually ended up being the highest performing LinkedIn article period ever at that point. So, obviously, tons of engagement, tons of you know, comments, shares. So it was a combination of, like Nate has talked about, our deep knowledge of our audience, the quantitative traffic we saw from that LinkedIn article, and our qualitative social listening from our, you know, our social media posts, that we decided to troll Trump, as Business Insider says it. So if you were around in the Flatiron area in New York, if you're New York-based, in January 2017, you would have seen these ads, which are basically, you know, denouncing the behavior of Trump and encouraging women of New York to cover their ass, with the two S's being dollar signs. With this idea that, you know, there are a lot of things out of our control, but one thing you have control over is your money. Here I am, really happy next to the ad. And our second very specific applied learning is about Me Too. So Me Too is being called the single most powerful political movement ever. And so often what underpins sexual assault is an abuse of power and the idea of someone having less power than the other. And we believe that money is power. So from the very beginning, when Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, very visible men were being, you know, all this news we're finding out, same way other community is, again, we're there for the women who are either his career affected by this person's behavior or, you know, just our community in general. And then also, you know, the positive of what's come out of Me Too is that women are coming together. Time's Up was launched. So also celebrating the wins and the positives here.
And so as Me Too was picking up steam, this campaign was the result of some really tough conversations among our team, where on the one hand, we felt it was really important as a brand to make a statement about what we believed and express solidarity with women. On the other hand, we really did not want to capitalize on what was happening. And so And so, like, you'll notice here, there's no call to action on this billboard. There's a 40-foot billboard we put in Times Square, and we as a team came to terms that this was not something that was going to pay off in terms of ROI, at least short term. But we decided it was just so important that we had to do it anyway.
The screen's very black, but in the background of that picture is Dr. Ford giving her testimony really recently. So basically, these are conversations that we have on a weekly basis. These days, there's always something new in the news to be talked about. And, you know, most recently, it was the Kavanaugh hearings and Dr. Ford's really powerful testimony. And so, again, as a team, we get together. Do we check off these three boxes? What do we have to say? Does our community care about this? And using very similar language that you'll see, that you saw on the billboard, this idea of LVS believes in you, and we believes you and believes in you. And this is a screenshot from that actual photo. Of course, we had some women comment and say, you know, you're stepping over the line, I'm withdrawing my funds. And then we had PK Donna 37, and she said this: my partner and I will be moving our investments over to LVS next week. You may have lost one, but you gained two, and I suspect a whole lot more. Thank you for taking a stand. Thank you for speaking truth in the face of criticism, and thank you for supporting survivors. So this is the reason that we do this, because even if it means, you know, losing one client who was not a part of our core audience, clearly, we're gaining two, and I think that they'll be around for a while. Any questions? Yeah, so I would say stories are a really good place for us to test messaging, like, you know, whether it is controversial or not, but to kind of learn what people are engaging with. The action of engaging with a story is so much easier because of the swipe up feature instead of having to go out of a post and go to the link in bio. So I feel like it's been really great for kind of, you know, gathering qualitative data, quantitative data of what people are engaging with, what they're interested in, what they're swiping up on. And it can inform sometimes decisions that we make in the grid.
On the paid side, we've also been seeing really good results with stories recently. The question was, working for the parent company of Philip Morris, how are there ways besides data to convince individuals within an older business to stand for controversial issues? I think, I mean, one component of this is like, so when we had the three bubbles up on the screen. So one is sort of choosing issues that are both genuinely and demonstrably important to you. So I think the first sort of challenge there is making sure that in an issue that you're taking a stand for, that sort of the company has the track record and the depth to demonstrate that this is truly authentic. But then I think like the other area, so aside from the data that you would collect like on the audience, is just really looking at all of the research that's out there on just how important and how increasingly important it is for consumers to be doing business with brands that share their values.
Yeah, so the question is whether or not this woman's specific company, whether they have a nickname or of calling some the thieves, the robbers. So should they lean into that? I mean, it's hard to answer that question without not knowing more about your company. But I would say that Invest Like a Woman is a similar idea where, you know, initially we leaned into it. We didn't get that negative feedback and then pull the ads. And because then we never would have seen the engagement. We never would have seen the clients come through and defend us, you know. So if I think giving something time to breathe. So yes, you know, the great thing about being a small company is that we can test things, we can iterate, we can experiment. You're small. I mean, yeah, so it's tough to say. I would say that, like, you know, from us, leaning into Invest Like a Woman worked for us, even though we got negative feedback initially, and that, you know, just the same way that fight like a girl, punch like a girl can be seen as a bad thing, like, we're just turning that, you know, on its head. Nate, I don't know if you have any added thoughts. All right.
No, I think what Alexandra said on trying to test things on a smaller scale before you roll it out on a bigger scale, even at a larger organization, there should be ways to do that. We're always looking at the feedback and thinking about is this something that did we really make a mistake on this? Like, should we change what we're doing, or is maybe there's something that we just need to tweak a little bit? We've been going with Invest Like a Woman for a while now, but we had a few different variations on that, and we felt that this version of it was sort of the most representative of the sentiment that we were trying to express. But it's, yeah, and, I mean, it can be really tricky, and I think in general we've, if we feel strongly enough that we are expressing what we need to express, and we have at least enough of the customers who we think are the ones who are going to purchase from our brand anyway, because we know there are many women who are not going to be a fit for the product. So trying to sort of discern not just what the feedback is saying, but what is underlying that feedback is an important tool for us.